You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from lead pastor Stefan Dirksen.
Oh, it's good to be back in here for the beginning of the school season, and it kind of feels like fall, doesn't it? Anyone excited for fall? Any hunters in here? It's the time is upon us. There's actually only very few. Yeah, that's probably good. More deer for me. Anyways, it is a blast to be here. I love worshiping and praying together. Now we're going to be diving into the Word, and we're continuing on, if you haven't been here for some of our summer series, continuing on in the book of John. Now, this is part four of the series, but really it is part two of part three. So you could call that 3.2. of the series in part, whatever. You'll figure that out, but we've been talking about living in the light, and that's really the theme of 1 John. 1 John was written probably somewhere around the 80 AD by the Apostle John, and he's not on Patmos yet. He's pastoring churches in Ephesus, and they have all sorts of false teaching that's coming in, mainly centered on distortions of the gospel. So what it means to be saved is under attack. And that's what John is starting with defending. And he did that in chapter one and then in chapter two, and we barely got into chapter two, and I'm still there. And the reason why we're spending so much time here is, well, there's a few reasons. Number one, what we believe about the nature of salvation matters. It matters a lot, both for us, but it also matters for those we're trying to reach. It matters. But number two, just like it was a big deal back in John's day, this is still a big deal today. Last week I had mentioned that this is probably the most asked question that I get. What is the relationship between faith and works? Now, if I just back up for a second and we ask, we might not all say it in the same way, but we probably agree easily that we are saved by faith and that faith produces works. So we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith, and that faith produces works. And I think most people in here would answer that correctly on a test if it was a test that you needed to answer. The issue comes when you actually read your Bible. The Bible talks about faith and works and salvation in a bunch of different ways, and from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So it's, you have this book, 66 books written together talking about God and talking about how we can be reconciled to Him is essentially what it's about. It's about glorifying Him and Him coming back. But it seems to talk about salvation differently in different places. Now, a reason for that is not to confuse you or me. It's not to confuse us. But we have to remember, in many cases, the books are being written to specific groups of people, sometimes answering very specific challenges or questions that they're facing. So we're not always privy to the historical background or what was the challenge of the day. We're just reading it all from wherever we're sitting today. So the passage I read last week, 1 John 2, 3 and 6, today's sermon's going to be on healthy trees bearing good fruit. And that comes from Matthew. It actually doesn't come from John. That comes from Jesus. But last week, we looked at 1 John 2, 3 to 6. And it reads, "By this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And so last week we looked at the foundation of our salvation is we are saved by Jesus or saved by grace, but through faith. So it is faith, it's faith apart from our works that saves us. Scripture says, so that no man can boast. But the conversation can't end there because the Bible doesn't even want to let you go with just thinking all that matters is just believe in Jesus as though it's a test. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes or no? Yes, we're all good. No, that's unfortunate for eternity. It isn't that simple. Your works actually do matter. And so their relationship matters. Ezekiel talks about those who do righteous will enter into life and those who do unrighteousness will lose their lives. In fact, in Ezekiel 18, it says, even if you do righteous your entire life, but at the end do unrighteousness, then you'll only be remembered for the bad you did at the end, not all the good. And vice versa, if you do good your entire life, unrighteousness your entire life, and good at the end, you will only be remembered for the good at the end. And so you can read a passage like that, and you're almost scared about what if you die the moment after you just did something bad. Revelations 22, Jesus himself says he will repay each one according to their deeds. Ephesians says we're saved by grace through faith so that no man can boast. John says, believe in Jesus, John 3. Believe in Jesus and you have passed from death into eternal life. Believe in Jesus alone. Romans, Paul says, Abraham's justified by faith alone and not works. He's very clear, not works. Then James goes on to say, you think that Abraham was justified by faith alone? It was his works that completed his faith. And you're like, wait a second. Paul and James maybe could have sat down and had a conversation before they wrote their letters. It would have been clearer to the rest of us reading it, because now you're left wondering, which one is it? And then James also says faith without works, and we looked at this a little bit last week, is dead. It's useless. He says even the demons believe. So, like I said last week, the Reformation was centered on this very issue. So this has been no small issue throughout Christianity. It's a big issue. And before I go into today's message, because we're going to look at that relationship again between works and faith, and particularly healthy trees produce good fruit and what that means and how that relates to those passages I just said, I will just want to say one thing. I just presented a few different, almost like salvific equations with those different passages. They all work together as one. The Bible is very clear on how we are saved and what that salvation produces in the life of a believer. But sometimes when you're reading the Bible, all you're reading, we don't read the entire thing at once, even if you're going through the Bible in a year. You read whatever you're reading that day. That's what you're reading. That's what you're looking at. And sometimes it's easy to forget what the rest of the Bible says. And we're going to try to bring clarity to that. So, glossary of terms. Salvation, knowing God, and eternal life are used interchangeably in Scripture. They're the same thing. They are the same thing. So those three are the same thing. If you have eternal life, you have salvation, you also know God. If you don't know God, you don't have salvation, you don't have eternal life. Make sense? So you can interchange all of those words together. If you have one, you have them all. If you don't have one, you don't have them all. Same with saving faith. It is not just belief alone, although it cannot be reduced to less than belief. It is belief. It is also trust. It is assurance. It's hope. And it is a trust that manifests in love and obedience and a desire to do God's will. That is what saving faith does, right? So you'll find some of those words interchangeable in Scripture too. Some places it'll talk about faith, and the next place it'll talk about belief. Because James says, well, if you believe in God, it's not enough. And you're like, well, totally, it's not belief, it's faith. But then John says, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. So you have to understand a lot of these words and terms are being used interchangeably, and you have to step back and understand what they were meaning by those words. And Scripture, again, like I said, is very clear on that. So, first thing we're going to look at, I'm taking analogies right out of Scripture. Two natures, two trees, two kinds of fruit. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at. And I'd like to say I came up with this analogy on my own, but I didn't. I took it right from the Bible. Jesus uses, and throughout Old Testament, New Testament, there is this often used example or analogy of either vines or trees. You have vines or trees, and we're told that we can understand a lot about how we relate to God and what it means to belong to God by looking at how vines and trees grow and produce fruit. So that's what Scripture says. So we're going to look at that today, and hopefully it is you're able to understand. In fact, I'm going to pray that the Lord speaks to us as we go. Lord, this topic of salvation, faith, and works, we want to get it right. And the biggest reason is because we love you and we want to live lives that glorify you, that bring you glory. Lord, I just ask that you would open your word to us this morning. I ask that your spirit would minister to our spirits, that you would enable us to be able to understand and know the truth, because we know that your truth sets us free. Would you set us free to love you, to worship you, and to follow you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, picture number one. Dead tree. All right, so the dead tree there, that is a dead tree. So help me, what is that? Dead tree. Dead trees can't what? They can't produce fruit. They don't. Look at this. Ephesians 2 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world." So Scripture describes the way that we were, or the way that we are, without knowing Jesus. So we're born this way. We are born into sin. We are born like that dead tree. Even though you might say, yeah, but I'm alive. Yeah, totally. We are alive, but we are born. We're dead in our sins. We are like that tree. We are unable to produce good works. Matthew 7:17 says, the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Now, I'm not sure what that bad fruit would look like, but it's bad nonetheless. Maybe it's mold. You can't actually see. I had put on, there's fungus growing off it. I thought maybe that would be the diseased fruit, but you can't see it. Okay, that's okay. We'll move on. We are like that dead tree. Now, Galatians 5:19 to 21 says, the fruits that we see then in our lives, because we are born dead in our sins, these are the fruits that come automatically from our lives. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This is a non-exhaustive list. We don't have time to go through all of the different lists of sin within Scripture, but there is a lot of things that Scripture calls sin. It is failure to glorify God in everything we do. So it's not just the bad things we do. It also encompasses the good things we fail to do. All right? Well, these bad fruits, what Paul says here is that I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And there we have that word, do, again, that verb, right? It is something you do. Now, again, lots of passages like this that lead to the misunderstandings of, well, how does this work with faith and works? If it's not by works, then why so much emphasis always on what we do? That's what I'm hoping to bring a little bit of clarity on today. So, Genesis 2, we have Adam and Eve. I won't describe the entire scene there, but you have Adam and Eve in the garden. They've been told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're warned the consequences of failing to obey God is death. It is becoming like that tree. They were alive. They had been given life by God. But failure to follow him in obedience brings death. We often have talked about sin here at Southland as cancer. Cancer, whether small or big, always brings death to the entire body. Left unchecked, it brings death. So, because sin entered in through one man, and all of us sin, all of us have become like this tree, we're dead in our sins. Romans 3 says, all have sinned. Romans 6 says the wages of that sin is death. We are like that tree. That is our condition, right? So, John 15, verse 6, and I love John 15, talks about abiding in the vine. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Well, verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in Jesus, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered together, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is signifying eternal judgment. So, at some point, all of us, so today we're going to be talking about all of us as though we're trees, okay? So we're not trees, but that's the image we're going to use. At some point, all of the dead trees are going to be gathered and they're going to be burned. They will be judged for eternity. That is the destiny of every dead tree. That's what Scripture teaches. So now let's look at an apple tree, an alive apple tree by comparison. So if we go to the next piece there, Matthew 7, 16 to 20 says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. He's talking about false prophets or false teachers who come disguised as sheep, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. But he says something that's very telling. He says, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree, and this comes the statement, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. All right, so that seems fairly clear. And if it was this simple, we would just go and we could look at anybody in here and look at ourselves. We could examine yesterday, for instance. We could have a really good exercise of just examining yesterday to see which tree were you yesterday. Some of you are getting a little nervous. You can see why, again, this is Jesus speaking, and we have to read the Bible in context of the entire scriptures because it's very clear on what salvation is and what it isn't. But this is a very important thing for us to understand. You'll recognize them by their fruits. The diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. It's not going to bear good apples. And the apple tree is not going to bear the diseased fruit. That's essentially what Jesus is saying. And then he says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Ephesians 2, verse 5 says, and we are made. So we are dead in our trespasses, but through Christ we are made alive. So we can be like this alive apple tree through Christ. And that's what we were talking about primarily last week. That process of going from death to life by faith alone in Jesus Christ for salvation. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 then goes on to say this. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, we've talked about this before, and I don't have time to get into it today because it's not going to fit the tree and the tree analogy that I really want to make clear. That is not just talking about feelings that you have. You could, a better way to look at it or to interpret it would be someone who is loving, who creates joy, brings peace, is patient with others. These are things that we do. They're fruits. They're actions that we do. All right, but Scripture is very clear. So if we are alive in Christ, if we are a healthy tree, we will bear these good fruits. 1 John 2, 3 to 4. This is why he says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Bringing that to the tree analogy, what he's saying is, if you have been made alive in Christ, like this healthy tree, healthy trees bear fruit. It just happens. Now, I'm going to explain in a little bit that there is a bit of a breakdown between trees and humans. We actually aren't the same as trees. But, and Scripture knows that too. But this is a very helpful analogy to help us understand this. That's what John's getting at. He's saying if you are truly alive in Christ, you will begin to bear good fruit. And that fruit will look like obedience to God's commands. That is what he's saying. That's why he goes on to say, if you're not obeying his commands, or if there's no desire to, you care nothing about those commands, you're still that dead tree. You've never actually become that living tree. That's what John's getting at. Now, last week we looked at we're saved by faith in Jesus for salvation. The next point here is our works and fruit cannot bring us back to life. And this is important. So the order matters, and I hope the picture actually helps bring understanding to that order. Matthew 7 says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No. So depending on the nature of a tree, it is going to produce a very particular type of fruit. What Scripture is clear on is the fruit is works. Remember, works. Fruit, obedience, these are glossary of terms, ideas again. They're all interchangeable. Those fruits can't save you in the same way that dressing up a dead tree can't make it come back to life. So what I have here, and I wish it was a little clearer, we're changing the screen. It will be clear coming up, just not today. If I take leaves from a healthy tree, if I take green leaves and apples, buy them at the store, maybe superstore, and I glue them, or with string, I tie them to a dead tree, will that make that tree come back to life? No. What if I add more? I mean, because it still looks dead. What if I just add more apples and more leaves? I mean, there it almost looks alive, doesn't it? Like from the outside, it looks like it might be a living tree. But it doesn't matter. Even if I would cover all of the dead wood and you couldn't see any of it, if I would just cover it from the outside with red apples, the nicest red apples, freshly cut green leaves, and put it on there, it would do nothing to change the nature or state of that tree. A dead tree is a dead tree, and it is unable to produce good fruit. Now, understanding this will actually help you understand a bit of why sometimes we get passages that seem to talk about, well, works. You have to have works because they show that you're saved, or you have to have works, and if you don't have works, that's a bad thing. But then there's other times that it talks about works in the sense of those works actually aren't saving you, and you're actually still broken on the inside. And you're like, well, which one is it? Do we have to have the works, or do we not have to have the works? Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. That's like that tree. That's what he's warning of. He's saying false prophets or false teachers, false apostles, it also talks about, they can come to you sometimes dressed like a living tree. They might have red apples. They might have green leaves on the outside, but essentially, they're just glued on. Inwardly, they still are dead trees. They might look sheepish, but they're inside, they're still rotten. Matthew 23:27-28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, Jesus calls them. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And in both cases, what you're getting at is they've neglected the fundamental issue. So in both cases, they have dressed up the outside of their dead tree with good works, but those good works can't change the inside of a tree. We do not have the power. It does not matter how good your works are. You could save a million people. That'd be like you could put a million red apples on a dead tree. A million. That's a lot, right? I don't even know if you could fit a million apples on a dead tree. Or any tree. Maybe if it's a big one of those, doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying. A million red apples, you could just times that by 10. You could go 100 million. You could go a billion. It doesn't matter how many red apples you put on a dead tree, you cannot make a dead tree come back to life. That's what Scripture is trying to illustrate when it says, so that no man can boast. There is no work that you can do that can regenerate you and change your nature. That nature has to be changed by someone else. And knowing this, if you understand that, I'm hoping the picture actually helps you understand the order and why that matters, but it'll make you read passages like Matthew 7:20-23 differently. Now, when you're reading this, you'll have to read it in the context of the, if you can go to the next one, there we go. Now, if you back up a few verses, which you don't have to do on the screen, but in your Bible reading, the Sermon on the Mount, it's split into sections. So you have the section on false teachers or false prophets and fruit, recognize them by their fruit. Then you have the section on Lord, Lord. There's no break in between those. Squish those two together, and you're going to see the full message. So he's going through the whole thing. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Healthy trees produce good fruits. Diseased trees produce bad fruits. And then he contrasts the two, okay? Now he says, thus, again, he'll end it. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruits, period. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, so that lines up with what he said before. You'll recognize them by the fruits. That's obedience to God. So not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, well, that sounds like what James was getting at. Remember James, we looked at that last week. You think that belief in God is enough? Well, even the demons believe. So it's more than just a cognitive belief. Jesus is saying the same thing. Really, James is probably just affirming what he had already heard. But Jesus is saying that same idea. It's not just about saying, Lord, Lord. It's about producing fruit. But then look what he says. On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out demons, and do many mighty works? Uh-oh. Now you have works. This passage has scared way more, probably it's scared a bunch of you because I've talked to you about it. This has been an unnerving passage to a lot of Christians when they sit on it because they're like, well, wait, then how do you know? Like, it's like you'll recognize them by their fruits, so then you do good things. I get that. It's impossible to be saved by works, but thinking that your works save or don't save you actually makes life simple in the sense of, I mean, if you do good, you're saved. If you do bad, you're not. So you'll go back and forth all the time, but it makes it simple. This does not make it simple. Because at first he says, don't just say, Lord, Lord, you actually have to produce works. Now he's saying you could produce works, and you're still not saved. And now we are getting at the, you know, we're getting to the heart of what the problem really is. Verse 23 says this, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. And this is, he's getting at this point. Your works, no matter how good they are, no matter how righteous and spiritual looking they are, it doesn't matter. Add a million red apples to a dead tree, and it's still a dead tree. At some point, the only way to address the deadness of the tree is to find a way to make that tree come back to life. And that, friends, is the message of the gospel. That's really what we're getting at, the juncture. Salvation, faith, belief, works, obedience, fruit, knowing God. John 17, verse 3 says that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what it is. So it's knowing God at the center that is the heart of the issue. Now, someone who knows God produces fruit from within, and that's the important understanding. Jesus said, so he starts with, you'll know a tree by the fruit that is produced. Diseased trees don't produce good fruit. Good trees don't produce bad fruit. And then he goes on to say, it's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord, just to say you believe. Even the demons believe. Romans says that there's enough of God to be seen throughout creation that no one has an excuse. It's not that hard to actually believe in God if you take the time to think it through. But it will require something of you to put your faith and trust in that God for salvation. That is a step of faith. But if you do that, you enter into salvation, into eternal life, which is synonymous with you get to know God, fellowship with God. It's not just get out of jail free. It is knowing God. That's what Scripture teaches. It's all of those together. So this is our problem. We were by nature dead in our sins. No amount of good works or dressing us up from the outside can ever make us come alive again. And that brings us to what we were talking about last week. Jesus can bring us back to life. He is the only one that has the power to change your nature. He can change you from a dead tree into a living tree. And he demonstrated his ability to do so by allowing himself to die a sinner's death and by raising himself back to life. That is why one of the reasons why the resurrection is so important. It is our guarantee that we too will be raised back to life. And we're in the now, not yet, the in-between, right? I mean, it seems all-consuming, but one day we'll look back and it will just be a speck on the line of eternity. But in that in-between, we're in the tension of we were dead in our sins, we were dead trees. Jesus has deposited a seed in us that has brought a dead tree back to life. And now as we live for him, we begin to bear fruit, but it comes from the inside. It is not just me grabbing fruit and putting it on the outside, trying to make a dead person look like he is alive. That is not what it is. Romans 5, 17 to 19. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one sin, trespass, led to condemnation, we all became dead, so one act of righteousness, Jesus' death on the cross, one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Now that all, we've talked about that in the last two weekends, he died for all. His sacrifice, what he did, was for all people. Now, that does not mean that all people will be saved. But if you're here today and you think somehow that your sin, your life, is too difficult for God to fix and atone for, then pause for a moment, imagine the worst evil that human beings have done, and recognize that Scripture says that his atoning sacrifice, he is the propitiation for the sins of the entire world. It was enough to wipe the entire thing clean. Salvation was given to all people in that sense. It was offered to all people, but it is only applied to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. Those who receive the gift through faith, they receive that gift, they get the Holy Spirit indwelling within them, and you see a miracle that happens every time a dead person comes back to life. And if you've ever had the joy, and I hope many of you have, and I hope more of us have opportunities, to be with someone as they say yes to Jesus, you will see it on their face. You'll see it. Like, it is a visible transformation. Now, it doesn't mean that their entire life is perfect. We'll get on to that. It doesn't mean that. But there is something that happens that is so deep, so real, that you can't not help but notice. I've shared this before, but Terry has, on numerous occasions, especially, I mean, not as much now, because I don't meet with people as much because my job has changed. When I did the one-on-one meetings more, I got that joy of leading people to Christ a lot of times. And Terry would come into my office multiple times, she has done this, and just ask, did that person just give their life to Jesus? I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? All over their face. Dead person walked in, living person walked out. That's amazing. And that we have to understand. Jesus, he burned, right? They said all the trees will be gathered and burned. Jesus paid our death. And he did it while we were weak, while we were still sinners. It says, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one will dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. By nature, we were destined for death. We were born that way. But we are offered salvation as a gift to be received through faith. And if you receive that gift, you are given a new nature. That is a miracle. Jesus' death made a way for us to be reborn. Given our new nature, we become a different type of tree. From being a dead tree, we are now a living tree. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why you can't work to save yourself. How would you cause yourself to be born again? You weren't even involved in the making of yourself the first time, let alone the second. It's something that happened externally to you. In that same way the first time, it's the same way the second way, the second time. You cannot cause yourself to be born again. It is a gift. John 3, 5 to 6, Jesus answered, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. See, are you starting to see all these passages work together? A diseased tree produces a diseased fruit, period. It's just how it works. That which is born of spirit is spirit, produces fruits like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That which is born of the spirit. That is what's happening with regeneration at salvation. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. He saved us, not because of works done by righteousness. So, reaffirming that point, because remember, you're going to read, well, yeah, but Revelation said he'll pay each according to their works. Yes, I know. Read it in the context of the canon. He saved us, not done by our works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That regeneration, rebirth, reborn. We are given a new nature. Paul said in Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now remember, we're in the now, not yet. We're in the in-between. So the old is gone, the new has come, and you're like, yes, I'm never going to sin again. I'm going to obey God always, and it's just going to be smooth sailing from here. That is not the way we experience salvation. We are justified in that way before God, but sanctification is a process. Last week, we looked at how this begins by faith alone, not works. We put faith in God, in Jesus for salvation, and it is his grace that saves us. It is his grace that regenerates us. We're given the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. We are a new nature. That's what's happening. We are no longer the same tree. The old is gone. The new has come. The fruit comes, but this time it comes from the inside. So it's not dead works from the outside posted onto it or, you know, stuck onto a tree trying to make it look alive. These are fruits that come from the inside. And you're like, well, what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. It's not just being a good person for the sake of being a good person or that sort of thing. It is a love for God. It's not just you. Even if you have desire to be a good person because you want to be from the inside, Scripture says those are dead works. The good works that count for eternity are works that are done with a desire to love God and bring him glory. It is because I love God that I serve him. It is because I love him that I turn from sin. It is because I love him that I sacrifice. It is because I love him. Those are the good works that flow from within, and it flows from within because his spirit is inside of us. So we begin to want the things that he wants, desire the things that he desires. Luke 6:45 says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart. So it's coming from the inside, produces good. But the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So works, fruit, obedience, they don't save us. They don't. However, saving faith in Christ works or bears fruit. So the works matter, but the order matters. You can't work to be saved. The most important thing is, do you know God? And that happens at regeneration when you become a new creation, when you say yes and put your faith and trust in him for salvation. That is the most important thing. What was dead is now and unable to produce fruit from the inside has now been brought to life, and what is alive bears fruit in season. Pictures helping? Can you see the pictures? Mostly? Mostly. Okay, good. All right. Our part in bearing good fruit. So, and this is where the analogy falls apart. So with a tree, and I kind of alluded to this before, and just in case you weren't fully aware, trees are different than humans. They are. Very different. We have something that no other animal and definitely no plant has, and that is the dignity of free will. God has given us what he has given no other created being, and that is the ability to say yes or to reject. Now, that is true certainly at salvation. He will not force salvation. That's why I said, it's a Norm Geisler quote, salvation was provided for all, but it is only applied to those who believe. See, that is the choice that you get in salvation. It doesn't mean you earned it. You can't earn it. It's just, that's the faith, that choice, where you grab the gift and now you have it. But even once you have it, the fruit doesn't just come automatically in the sense of you still have a choice to say yes to God or no to God. That's a daily choice. Now, at what I said last week is you don't have to worry in the sense of, like, if you have an unconfessed sin, like, what happens if I have a fight with my spouse or I have a fight with my parents and I say something I shouldn't have, and then all of a sudden I die, I didn't have a chance to confess it. Do I lose my salvation? And the answer is no, you don't. You will suffer loss, according to Scripture, because your rewards in heaven might change, but you will not lose the gift that has been entrusted to you. That sin will not cause a living tree to die, at least not immediately. So we still have choice, and that free will is super important. So when you place your faith in Jesus for salvation, new nature, new creation, you become a child of God. Now you have, in the Old Testament, it talked about this new covenant that was coming, where we would have a new heart and a new spirit, the ability and desire to obey. So it's there. It is there, but you still get a choice on whether or not you will follow Jesus and whether you will bear fruit. For instance, we're supposed to be generous with our finances. It's not like you gave your life to Christ and you found yourself just writing checks to people automatically, right? That's how trees bear fruit. It just happens. You still have a choice. But what's changed is you have this desire that begins to grow, and you're like, man, I want to do something with my money that's just more than living for myself. I want it to glorify God, to lead others to Him. See, the desires have changed, but you still have a choice. Are you going to choose to bear good fruit or choose to live as a barren tree? That is the choice. Now, with that, and this is where I'll probably... Yeah, this is where we'll finish it off, because I think the next week I'm going to pick up more. We're going to continue carrying on through John, and we're going to look at now defining what the commands or fruit. He goes into great detail on what that actually looks like practically. But for now, Romans 7, 15 to 25. I'm only going to quote Romans 15. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. So you can see already Paul is talking about this internal struggle. So he's still living in this world. Your sin nature is not entirely removed. So that's where, again, the analogy breaks down a bit. You're a new creation, but you're still tainted by that old self. There's still a choice to be made on a daily basis. And Paul says, my desires have changed, and I have the desire to do what is good, and I have the desire not to do the things that are bad. And yet I find myself still tripping up in sin and still struggling with my flesh. And he goes on to say, oh, wretched man am I. What's wrong with you? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have a new nature. You have the desire. Why can't you just say no? And I love it that the Lord inspired Paul to include that, because it gives hope for the rest of us human beings that this happens as you're moving forward. These natures are at war, but there is one that is going to win if we allow it. Sanctification is that process. We talk about direction towards perfection. Justification happens through faith in Jesus alone. But then that process, if we are justified, if you have become a living tree, you have the desire and ability to bear fruit. Good trees will bear fruit. They will. But we also bear some deformed fruit sometimes, and sometimes we have a dead limb that pops up on a healthy tree. And that's what we'll look at here as we close. Sanctification is a process, and if you want to put those four trees up there, I think this will kind of help. Now, this doesn't help as much as it did on my computer with the bright LED screen that I had this morning. That's winter. If you didn't know, it's coming. We're almost there. Yeah. Some of you feel like you're stuck in winter. That's a hard place to be. It's cold, it's barren, it can be isolating and lonely. And it's really hard to bear fruit. But you need to know something. Even if you're there in winter, do you know that you actually can still bear fruit? Do you know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. And this is really what James is getting at. Count it all joy, my brothers. Now, you might not be at the counting it as joy part in your journey if you're in that winter season. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness, when it is fully developed, right? Look at that. Produces, makes you steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. That's the promise. Maybe you're that next picture. The four were winter, and there was one with some overgrown limbs that were growing out. The next one was a tree that has some dead branches. I had some trees on our apple tree in the backyard. That's why I'm getting some of this imagery from there in Scripture. But we need to prune that thing. I just don't know what I'm doing. So because I haven't pruned it properly, some of the branches have died, and some of those apples then are rotting, so it's like a mixture. I'm like, that tree looks like me if I was a tree. It's a perfect representation of probably many of us that are in here today. There's some good on it, and you're like, it's definitely living. It's definitely got some good fruit. It's definitely got some overgrown limbs that need to be worked on. That part looks a little weird. It definitely has some diseased parts that are dying, and we need to deal with it. Overgrown limbs are like character that needs to be worked on. John 15:1-4 says, Jesus prunes trees and branches. Even the ones that bear fruit, he prunes them so that they can bear more fruit. You ever thought about that? Sometimes you've been in a season of fruitfulness, and then suddenly you find yourself in a desert, and you're wondering, what did I do, God? I thought I had it all right. And he says, I know. You've been doing well. You've been doing well. Don't stop. Now's the time to deepen that faith. And you're still bearing fruit. It's a different kind. Because it's that inner work. As your faith goes deeper and your roots go deep into the soil of his love, and you learn to trust him like never before. And the thing is about trees, at least my understanding, the deeper their roots, the more resilient the tree is to be able to withstand harsh circumstances. And that's what Scripture describes for us, that God will put us through. That's overgrown limbs. But then we also have the dead branches and rotten fruit. Paul was talking about that directly, right? I know what I ought not to do, and I still do it. I know what I ought to do, and I don't do it. And this is the Apostle Paul, who did a lot of major things for the church, including writing much of the New Testament. Paul understood this. Dead branches happen. It does. 1 John 1:9. That's why in 1 John, you kind of get these weird, like, you know, fellowship with light has no fellowship with darkness. I'm writing this so that you do not sin. So the goal is healthy trees produce good fruit, period. That's the goal, no compromise. However, 1 John 1:9. When you sin, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll cut that dead branch off. Now, the warning in this is as follows. When you leave dead branches on your tree, if you're thinking it's not a big deal, and John was addressing this in chapter 1, you think your sin isn't a big deal? Dead branches can actually cause an entirely healthy tree to become diseased. You leave a dead branch long enough and it can kill a healthy tree. Now I know, you might be thinking, that means like I'm gonna sin and then I'm gonna lose my salvation. It's not that. Last week I said, our sin, whatever we choose to do with our lives, will set you in a direction. If you continuously choose to rebel against God and to separate yourself from him, you will disconnect yourself first from the power source. Your sin separated you from God. Now, that doesn't immediately cause you to lose your salvation, but you may lead yourself into a place where your own heart grows cold and you willfully reject the gift that was given you. That is why Jesus himself, well, John is saying this, but it's in the gospel, Matthew 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You ever thought about that? We're told to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that one makes sense. There's another kind of fruit we're told to bear, and that is the fruit of repentance. Repentance of dead works and repentance back towards God. That's part of the in-between, dealing with dead branches. And lastly, if you're here and you're a healthy tree. John 15, verse 8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples." Paul goes on to talk about, for freedom Christ has set you free, totally. So you might be saying, life is good, life is grand. He did not give you that freedom as an opportunity to advance your own kingdom. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5, but through love, serve one another. You are called, each one of us are called. Ephesians says, we were created for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we bear good fruit for the kingdom, the Father is glorified and we fulfill the purpose for which we were created here on this earth. So, in closing, we are saved by placing our faith in Jesus for salvation alone. No works. No works. You can't do enough good things. Doesn't matter how good you are. You can't dress a dead tree and make it come back to life. We're saved by placing our faith in Jesus alone. But when you say yes to him, he gives us an indwelling spirit and a new nature. We are brought back to life from the inside out. Living trees, healthy trees bear good fruit. Now, it is true to say they bear good fruit in season. You will have seasons where it may seem like you're not. But it is true to say healthy trees bear good fruit. Even if it's winter and the fruit has all fallen on the ground, it's still a healthy tree. It's still alive. The roots are still growing. So, your works can't do this. Doesn't matter how good they are. So my question for us today is, where are you on that tree scale? Are you still a dead tree? Maybe you're not sure why you even came in here this morning. Or maybe someone else brought you. Maybe that's why you're here. Maybe it's someone you want to date. I don't know. But you're here as a dead tree. And you think, well, I'm not that bad of a person. If there is something after this life, I'm not that bad of a person. Like, surely I'm not gonna go to hell if that's a thing. Scripture is very clear. It is not by works that you are saved. It doesn't matter how many red apples you put on that tree. If it's dead, there is only one way for dead trees to be made alive again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So today I invite you to give your life to him, to experience regeneration, rebirth, to be made a new creation, given a new nature. But maybe you're here and you're going through, you're going through a long winter season. Fruit looks scarce, if at all. Let me encourage you that though you might not be able to participate in the Great Commission or serving at church, thank you for all you that serve, or serving in the community because you're stuck in bed, you can still glorify God with your responses. You can still bear fruit that lasts for eternity in the way that you are soft to God, the way that you turn and you trust him even when it's hard, the way that you pray, the way that you love, you can still do that. If you have dead branches, let me encourage you. Don't let sin go unchecked in your life. A little bit of cancer can kill an entire person. A little bit of sin can do the same to you. Don't wait. Deal with it today. Lord Jesus, for those that maybe have never called upon your name, Lord, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you're that dead tree, this part of the prayer is for you. Lord, today I recognize that I am that dead tree, and no amount of good works that I can do externally can bring myself back to life. but you died my death so that I wouldn't have to. And today I choose to receive that gift. What a wonderful gift it is. By faith, I put my trust in you. Thank you for dying my death. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. Would you bear your fruit in me, that my life would give you glory? And for the rest of us, whatever season you are in, Lord, we turn to you. We put our trust in you. Would you teach us to abide, to depend, to be faithful? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfland.com or download the Selfland Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.